Good morning. Again, it's good to see all of these beautiful smiling faces here today. Isn't it a joy to be in God's house? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. Today I'm going to be preaching on God's favor. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the reading of your word. And Lord, we thank you, God, for your favor, because God, you love us with a love that is so tender and compassionate, a love that is so great and giving that, Father, our human minds can't even comprehend it. But God, we thank you for that love. And Lord, today, speak through this message, we pray. Let everything come from your Holy Spirit and nothing from my words or my own flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Well, and just like Mary, each and every one of us, we can find favor and grace with God. And in order to do this, the first thing I want to look at this morning is that we have got to believe and trust God. That's basically the foundation, the basis of all this. We've got to believe and trust. If you don't believe in God, if you don't have any trust in God, you're not going to get anywhere. That's going to be like trying to get a car to go with no gasoline in it. See, a car has to have a substance for the cylinders and the spark plugs and all to fire and to go. It's got to have a fuel source. So if that car's got nothing in it, then it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to sit idle and it'll be of no use. And the same way in our life, if we don't believe and trust God, then we're going to have a useless life. We're going to sit idle and we will be of no use to the Lord. Now, the reason that we need to trust and believe in God is because of God's providence. And what I mean by providence is God's provision. God's caring provision for all of His people will guide them in their journey of faith through this life, accomplishing His purpose in them. Basically, if God brings you to it, God's going to get you through it. There's no other way. You could go and talk to your best friend. You could go to many different resources on the internet, but you're not going to find anybody who cares for you like God does. God is wanting us to believe and have faith in Him because He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. And like we sang earlier, He's building a palace. He's preparing a mansion for us in heaven. And if you look around at everything that God's given to us, then don't you think God could take care of the situations in our life? When the angel came to Mary and told Mary that she was going to be having this baby, she's like, but I don't know a man. Basically, she's saying, I haven't been with anybody, so how can this be? Now, she wasn't really having a faithless moment. She was just asking a question because she didn't really understand what the angel was proclaiming to her. See, she was betrothed to Mary Joseph, and you all know the story. Now Mary's pregnant, and the people know this, and Joseph had to take Mary and put her away, so because people thought she should be stoned. They thought she should be killed because they thought she'd been cheating on Joseph. They did not realize that she was carrying the Son of God. They didn't realize that this was an immaculate divine intervention by God. And so Mary politely said to Gabriel, well, whatever it is, let it be. That's what she said in the last of the scripture I read. She said, well, basically, I'm here, so whatever God wants, let Him do it. Because Mary was saying, I trust God. If this is what God wants, then so let it be. And that's what we need to say with our life. We need to look daily in the mirror and look at yourself. Get a good look at yourself. And you need to say, I am God's child. And nothing that I will face will ever drag me down. Because God is on my side. I mean, really. That's something that I do a lot. I know it sounds weird standing in front of a mirror, but you know what? It does. It really does a lot for you. But if Mary had that kind of faith, I mean, can you imagine, ladies, if this had been you, could you imagine what bewilderment and even joy and excitement would have filled your mind and heart to know that you were going to carry the Son of God, you were going to carry Jesus? Oh, could you imagine the ladies that Mary knew when they found out she was carrying the Son of God within her womb? Now, so that's why Mary had favor, was because she believed and she had faith. Now, we also have to trust and obey. Hebrews 5:9 says, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Now, you know the old hymnal we sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, how many of you know when you're growing up and you didn't trust and obey what your parents said, you knew you were going to be unhappy? Now, in our household, I've often heard said, if mom is not happy, daddy's not going to be happy. And I've learned to keep mom happy, because when mom is happy, daddy's happy. So basically, we have got to trust and obey what the Lord is telling us. That's all He's requiring. See, God doesn't want you to have to go climb a mountain and prove something great and grand. God is just simply saying, I want you to give me your life. I want you to trust me with everything. I want you to trust me at my word. That when God's word is saying something to you, you're not going to go against it. You're just simply going to obey. So when we are walking in fellowship with God, we will be happy people. We really will. I remember I went to a church, and I'm not saying anything bad about the people. This is the observation, and this was the experience. But I went in, I was interviewing for a pastor's position with a church in Kentucky many years ago, and I walked in. They said, we want you to come on a Wednesday night, and we'll meet with you after Bible study. I said, that is great. And so I went in there, and the people that I was talking to, I mean, they were down in the mouth. I mean, it was bad. And I thought, wow. And everything that I kept hearing just started to feel like, you know, this heaviness all over me. I felt my joy literally starting to leave my own heart and body. And my own thought was, where is the exit? Where's the closest exit? And I thought, if there wasn't a door close enough, I'd make one of my own and I'd go out. But the more that I listened to what the folks were saying to me, basically, it was their church and they were running it and it was no other way. And I said, then you don't need me here. And I just turned right around. I walked back out, got in my truck, aimed back for Illinois, and drove right on back. And if we function in our lives like that, we're going to have a lot of problems. We really will. And I know that for a fact, because when God wanted me to surrender to preach, I didn't. And I suffered. I went through a lot of heartache. I went through a lot of heaviness. I went through a lot of despair. And, you know, I was making it harder for myself. So when we don't trust and obey the Lord, we are actually making the situation worse for ourselves. It's not God doing it. God is just waiting on us to yield our wills to His will. Now, I've told you that God gave us a free will. He lets us have choices each and every day. But God's greatest desire is that we will submit our wills to Him and let Him lead our life. Now, faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." If you have no faith, you're not going to please God. You have got to have faith that God can overcome anything in your life. I got a friend right now that is facing probably one of the hardest times of their life. And I tell you what, I wish I could just wave my hand and make it go away for him. I really wish I could. And this friend of mine that I talk to, they keep telling me all that they're experiencing and all that they're going through. And I have asked them, are you turning things over and having faith in God that He'll take care of them? Well, this, that, and the other. I hear all kinds of excuses. You know, why they're not making that move yet? Well, we can keep making excuses all we want, but God is just simply waiting for us to trust Him with faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And the last part of that verse says that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That means you got to be driven in your heart. You got to be a God chaser. There's a book that came out some years back, and it was called God Chasers. And I don't remember the author's name, but I remember people telling me about this book. And basically what I heard, people were telling me that they were having a deeper hunger to know God. They were seeking Him on a deeper level with their life. They were wanting to do more for the Lord than they had ever had done before. And that's what we should be doing. We should joyfully be going after God. We should be pursuing God. See, God gave us His Son, and God gives us everything good So if God's given us all of these good things, and if He loves us that much and He's preparing a home for us in heaven, then we should be excited about that. And we should take a long, hard look at our life. We should look deep within our heart. And if there's something that is standing in the way of us being close to God, we need to get rid of it. Secondly, we must be willing to be used by God. We have to submit. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, I've preached this a bunch. The devil wants to keep you from doing God's will. If the devil can make us, you know, negative or unhappy or have these depressing thoughts or anything at all, or if the devil can make us think that we are not able to carry out God's will, then the devil's going to keep us ensnared in that place, and we'll never have any victory in our life. We won't. I mean, when I surrendered to the ministry, I can't tell you how many times I used to say, "God, I don't know why you've called me, because I'm no good. I'm not worthy enough. I fail all the time." And I kept this up, I mean, literally day after day after day. And when people would come up to me and say, "Well, it ain't a great day, Jim." "Yeah, I guess." "Well, what do you mean you guess?" "Well, I guess it just is." Well, I was letting the devil keep me backed up into a corner. And the only time that I wanted to serve God is when things were going good. When things were all right, when there was a peace and there was nothing, when the winds weren't howling in my life, I was all right. But then when things started to happen or things were going on bad, then I got negative and I got down in the mouth, and my life, my spiritual life suffered. I was not growing in Christ. And I started to get away from the Word. And the more I got away from the Word and the more I fought God and I wouldn't submit to Him, guess what? I wasn't preaching. The churches weren't calling. And I did. I hit this bottom level for a while where I just stayed where I was at. And you know what I started doing? I'm comfortable here. And I used to say, "Lord, don't challenge me beyond this now. I like right where I'm at." That's what I said to the Lord. Was I truly happy? No. I was miserable. And it took quite a bit of time. Quite a few years went by. Every now and then I'd get a church to call and I'd go preach. But things weren't really right here in my own heart. But when I started submitting to God and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of fighting. I submit. I surrender. I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. So here's my heart. Here's my life. Whatever your will is, let it happen, because I'm miserable." And the moment that I submitted and surrendered, the Lord started working in my life day after day. And I started realizing that the words coming out of my mouth and the thoughts that were in my mind that had been keeping me held back, they weren't there anymore. I started to see that there was more love. I started to see that there was more of me that wanted more of God. Like a deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for you, Lord. That's how we should be. We should be wanting to drink of the Lord. We should be wanting to take in everything we can of God. We should love people around us, because you know what? When you love people, love the people that are in your church, love the people that are in your family, love the people that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, because when you do that, you're going to have such a joy and a happiness and a peace, you're not even going to want to think anything negative. And it's not going to be such a hard trial to say, "Lord, here's my life. What do you want to do with me?" Sometimes, I heard this one day, I kind of got tickled over it. You know, people are always saying, Jesus, take the wheel. And I've heard some people say, Jesus don't need to take the wheel. He needs to pull his flip-flop off and beat you over the head with it. I've heard that quite a few times. I know the Lord's probably wanted to beat me over the head a time or two. I want to read this little story to you I found was really good. It's called When the Wind Blows. A young man applied for a job as a farmhand. When the farmer asked for his qualifications, he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. This puzzled the farmer, but he hired the young man anyway. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a violent storm. They began to check things out to see if everything was secure. They found that the shutters of the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs was sitting next to the fireplace. And they found the young man sound asleep. The farmer and his wife then inspected their property. They found that the farm tools were placed in the storage shed, safe from the elements. The barn was locked up and secured. Even the animals were calm. All was well. The farmer then understood the meaning of the young man's words, I can sleep when the wind blows. Because the farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully when the skies were clear, he was prepared for the storm when it came. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid. He could sleep in peace. Now that speaks a lot of truth. If we do what God asks us to do, if we're ready, prepare. They always say, prepare for a rainy day, don't they? Prepare for a rainy day. Even in the wintertime, they always tell you, if there's going to be a blizzard coming, what does everybody do? They go get milk and eggs and butter. And they wipe out the store of all the toilet paper and paper towels too. And then everybody's going out and getting prepared for the storm. If we would get prepared for the storms in our life, if we would trust the Lord, and if we would have faith in Him, then when the storms do come, we can sleep sound and secure when the wind's blowing. And I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of different winds that will blow in your life. There's going to be a lot of storms you're going to face. But I know who is in the midst of that storm. I know, see, in the eye of a hurricane, in the very center of it, there's a peaceful place. Do you know what's in the middle of your storms in your life? There is a Savior there who's in the middle of it, and in Him is peace. And if we keep our eyes on the peacemaker, the peacekeeper, we will have peace as well. So I've been telling my friend lately when we talk, I say, whatever it is you're up against, you trust God and don't let your faith waver. Lastly, we have to obey God's word. Verse 38 says, Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be according to God's word. We have to obey this word. And I will, if I have to preach it every Sunday and people probably get tired of hearing it, I hope you don't. But we should study, read, and take it in and memorize it. We should quote it, write it on index cards, and wherever you go the most in your house, hang up Bible verses. And when you go to these places in your house or your car or work or wherever, look at those Bible verses and memorize them, because the Bible says, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we have God's word in our heart, you know what it's going to cause us to do? It's going to cause us to live. It's going to cause us to be a different breed of people. We're going to look strange to the world when we live for Christ. You know why? It's not because we're crazy, but see, we have found something that gives us an eternal peace. And the world doesn't know it. See, people that live in darkness, they're afraid of the light. They don't like the light. They don't. Have you ever lifted up a log and watched the bugs just scatter Well, you know what's happening underneath that log? There's darkness. It's, I always say it's wet, yucky, ick. And them bugs that's under there, they're ick too, in my book. But I've lifted up logs, and man, they just scatter for the darkness once the light hits them. Because that's basically, that's their territory. And that's not where God wants us to be. God does not want us walking in darkness. That's why God is light and His Word is powerful to us. And if we get into that Word and we read it and study it, that becomes a light inside of us. And see, in God there is no darkness. There is no darkness in God at all. God is light, God is love. And we may not understand the things we face and go through, but if we know the Word and we know what the Word says, then it would cause us to rejoice even more. And it would cause us to still pursue God. When things happen in your life, do they make you just stop in your dead tracks and just give up? I hope not. I've been there. Boy, I've wanted to quit. I've wanted to throw my hands up and say, it ain't worth it anymore, God. But you know what? I would have lost out. I would have suffered if I would have quit and walked away. God wants us to keep all of His commandments. John 15, 10 and 11 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, we can't pick and choose the parts of God's Word that we want to live. We can't pick and choose how we want life to be. Boy, I tell you what, if I could pick and choose life, I told you how I wanted to be years ago with church and stuff. If I could pick and choose, I'd say, well, Lord, just bring all the perfect people. Well, there's no perfect people. You know why? Let me just point this out. Do you know why there's no perfect people on the face of this earth? Because it's a something to drive us to help them love them more. It's something to drive us to help love them more. See, if there were perfect people, would there be a reason to love them and go after them? Not really. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll be perfect. But while we're here on the face of this earth, we just, you know, like when you go to a buffet, you can pick and choose what food you want. And I stay away from sauerkraut and stuff like that. There are certain things I won't touch. I'm glad I have that freedom. I'm glad I do. But when it comes to life and comes to living for the Lord, I can't sit down and say, okay, well, Lord, here's the bargaining table. I'll give you this, this, and this if you'll let me have this, this, and that. How does that sound? Lord says it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. So, if you want to find favor with God, then you've got to show the Lord that you're thankful for what you have, that you're thankful for who you are, that you're thankful for all the blessings in your life. You know, I guess I could understand why some people, you know, they see others that have all this money and all this fame and glory, and they want to be like that. Well, I tell you what, they're not happy. You're not going to find any happiness in the things of this world. Now, yesterday, there was a car show down there in Goreville. Oh, and as Janine and I were walking around, oh, I kept saying, boy, I'd love to have that 56 Chevy over there. Oh, I'd love to have that, you know, that 1954 GMC truck that was sitting over here. Boy, I'd like to have that 1973 Dodge over there. There's nice cars. You know, I could see me at my age handling speed like that. Well, they'd be dragging me out of the ditch. But you know, we enjoyed the day. We enjoyed those things for just a moment. But you know what? While we were there, what I found more joy in was the people we were talking to. The cars didn't matter so much. And it was neat running into people that I knew who were Christians, but it was also neat running into people who weren't Christians You could just tell by their language and stuff. And it was neat because you get to share Christ. Because you plant the seed, you walk away, and just trust God to have it all. And that's what life's all about. If we want favor with God, we have got to trust and obey. We've got to have faith, and we've got to submit. Because without faith, without any of that, it's impossible to please God.